church, and just so glad that you made the choice to be here this morning in church. We are in a series called That's Sick. Can you just say that with me? That's sick. Come on, say it with some slang. That's sick, girl. What's going on inside of you? And it just worth thinking as well. If you haven't yet stopped by the What's Next, it really is. He says, what's next right there? And connected with a team. Would you consider doing that before you go today? There's nothing better than taking a step and connecting into the life flow of God's great church. And we are proud, too proud to say there are many great churches in Nanaimo. I love the pastors in town that I get to meet up with every month and pray over our city and pray over our churches, pray over what God's doing. And some great churches. I'm not too proud to say that this is still the best church in town. I love my church, right? And I would love for you to come and love your church, too, and come and stay. We're still here to stay. We're not here just for a few moments. Here today, gone tomorrow like a bad girlfriend. But we are here to stay. I know I'm going to be a little funny here and there. I like to break the ice, get you thinking, get you wondering, what the heck is this guy? Where's he from anyways? But if you have your Bibles, we're going to get spiritual for a moment here today, too. Like you haven't been already, but you've been doing good. I love that. But get your Bibles. And just leave the slide up for a few moments if you can help me with that. And I will see that there. But I want you to just stick your thumb in Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, chapter 14. As we're going to start off in just a couple moments. And that's sick. We've been working through the things that keep us sick. Have you ever been sick? Some of you were sick this week with the flu. Some of you were sick last week with the flu. Some of you were sick last year with the flu. You're like, thank God, I haven't been sick for a long time. And we've all experienced sickness, whether it be physical, emotional, spiritual, mentally even, right? We've all experienced it. We've been working through things that keep us sick spiritually, emotionally, physically, even sometimes mentally, relationally, financially. Have you ever been financially sick? Oh, man, God, yeah. Some of you live in B.C. like me, too, right? It's like, I can hardly afford to live here, God. I'm financially sick. I need your blessing. I need your help, right? And so today we're going to deal with the sickness that within that we call pride. We talked about anger. We kicked off with anger. And last week we talked about envy. And we had some great discussion on our team night. Hey, I just want to invite you back on Wednesday night. The cafe sessions here are open. And we kick off with prayer. We're learning how to pray for one another. Have you ever prayed for somebody else and they don't know what to say? Well, come on here and listen and learn how to pray over somebody and prophesy over somebody. And we're going to talk about pride. That's what we're going to talk about today. And we're going to talk about that on Wednesday night as well. So come on out here again Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Get uncomfortable with this because you grow when you're uncomfortable, by the way. If you're still comfortable, you ain't growing. Just so you know, you ain't growing. All right. So all around the room, would you just be very honest with me this morning? I know this is one of those questions that I get to throw you under the bus a little bit. But just be bold and brave with me. How many of you deal with pride, have been prideful? Maybe you're prideful. Would you just raise your hands up in the air, up in the air, up in the air, up in the air. Pride. We've all experienced it. And one of you that didn't put up, you're just holding out because you still got pride. You're too proud to raise your hand. Because we all have pride, right? And that's okay. I see it, but that's okay. God sees me too, and he sees the pride that's in my heart. And I have both hands up, both feet in the air for that one. We all deal at one level or another. We deal with pride. For an example, if you ever have been in a group, you've heard me say this before, but if you've ever been in a group and it's photo time and you take a group picture and you are in the picture, who is the first person that you look at in the picture on your cell phone? Self. I love self so much. And if you've got some weird contorted face, you're like, it's ugly. You don't care what everybody else looks like. They could look amazing and beautiful, but you saw yourself with a crazy face. And you're just like, I hate that picture. Delete it right now, right? And then when you take that same picture, everybody else's face is all screwed up. And you're like, so proud and beautiful, beautiful smile. You're like, I love this picture. I'm going to cut everybody else out of it. I'm going to hang this on my wall. Like, we all got pride. Right, that's how you know you have some pride. You take yourself a picture with a group, and you'd still say it's a good picture if you had a good look, and everybody else doesn't, right? And that's the way it works. And so we all deal with pride at one level or another. I know it's a funny way to look at it, but we do. Isaiah 14, though, in 13 to 14, offers us perhaps chronologically the first example of pride in Scripture. And in fact, this even took place even before Adam and Eve were born, by the way, right? It was when Lucifer decided that he wanted to be like God. Anybody in this room ever want to be like, I'm God, I want to make big decisions in my life, like, get out of my way, I want to make some big decisions here. I want to hear what you have to say. And this is what it says. So he wanted to be like God. His pride got him a one-way ticket out of heaven. So next time you be thinking, you God, guess what? You might get a one-way ticket somewhere too, right? No, just kidding. But let's look and see what pride does. Isaiah 14, 13 to 14, it says, you said in your heart, Lucifer said this. He said, what? Say it out loud. He said, I will ascend to heaven. What he didn't say it again. He said, I will raise my throne above the stars. He says in the third time, he says what? He says, I will sit enthroned on the mount of the assembly of the utmost heights of the sacred mountain. The fourth time, he says, I will ascend above the tops of the cloud. And then the fifth time, just like you and I yesterday did probably, I will make myself the most high. I'm in charge. I'm in the boss. Think about this for a moment. In contrast, his most common two words, say with me, I will. Pretty easy. I highlighted it for you, right? I will, I will, I will, I will. I will. What does God say in the garden? What does Jesus say in the Garden of Gethsemane when he said, not my will, right? But he said, thine will be done, Father. That was what we're talking about today. I want to help you get some thine will be done, Father, spirit in this room today. So God, help us today. Open our ears, Lord. The ears of our heart, the eyes of our heart, God, our minds for understanding, our ears to hear. It's not that he needs to anoint my lips as much as he will. But God, would you come anoint my heart to receive? Would you anoint my ears to hear, my mind to understand, that we would all be anointed to receive something from God? And we say, amen, amen, amen. So here's the big question. Are you ready for it? Here's the big question. Is it going to be about us, or is it going to be about him? If you're taking notes, note takers would have happened early. No, they just get in first. I don't know what they do, but note takers are special. I know that. I've got a brochure. But it's going to be about, if you're right, if you're taking notes, write this down. Is it going to be about me, or is it going to be about him? Is it going to be about him? What I want, or what he wants in my job? You know, I get a front row seat now to watch this question unfold in people's lives, and some of you do too as well. And, you know, you might hear, Pastor, I don't like the music this loud. You know, Pastor, I don't like serving at the church. Pastor, I need to be right in this moment. Like, you know, my wife, I got to be right. Pastor, I don't need your advice. Pastor, I don't want to go out of my way to say hi to a stranger and high-five somebody. I like my clique is kind of comfortable, right? Like, me three and no more. Right? Pastor, my wife. Pastor, my job. My kids. I need all the money I got. I can't give them. Are you kidding me? But guess what? Today, we're going to do battle with this sinful sickness within called pride. All of us deal with it. For me, there was a time in my life where I battled with pride. More so than you said, I still battle with pride, but we all do, right? And I allowed this sickness within me to fester, to run wild, and I was self-centered and had excessive focus on myself and on my own needs and it's my own family that counts, my own image, my own desires, just like, you know, Lucifer himself and all my thoughts and my time and energy and focus and even my money too, right, was all for me. And I'm going to talk, I got big dreams, God, I look, I'm amazing, I don't know if you've seen me lately, God, I'm pretty amazing, like I've been going to the gym and all, you know, like, I'm pretty amazing. And I did say a lot, I will, and I still do, and I'm like, God, I'm learning, like, God, your will be done, not my will, but your will be done, but I used to say a lot more, but I will, so I'm going, I'm doing, I have big dreams, I'm going here, I'm going there, I'm going everywhere, I'm going to do some big things in my life, I will. It's like a Dr. Seuss kind of thing, right? I will. And here's what it is, friends, it's actually a form of self-worship. Seating myself where God himself belongs on the throne of my heart. Right? And I still see this one form of pride pop. You know, it pops his head up like a big pimple and I have to squeeze his ugly head every once in a while. But it's the need to be right. I need to be right, where I can have an unwillingness to admit my mistakes. It's like this kind of shows up in my marriage sometimes. Like, I need to be right, and she needs to be right too, but I'm going to be more right. Right? As unwillingness to admit my mistakes and say sorry first or whatever it might be and apologize. Oh, here's another big, bad word in my house, compromise. In my marriage, I should say. I'm working on it. God's working on me too, right? It's pride. We all struggle with it. Somewhere in your life, you've got to find out today, you have some pride too. We want God to deal with the sickness in our life, in our marriages, in our homes, in our workplaces, in our relationships, our friendships, your comparison, and all that stuff, right? And you have to fight back. And you thought getting saved and redeemed by the blood of Jesus, you wouldn't have to fight no more. Well, no kidding, eh? Your flesh still stinketh, an old King James Version. That's why you need to fast food, by the way. And I'd say, just to challenge some of you who have been really comfortable with fast food on a week, pick one meal a week and fast it. And say, God, I'm giving this lunch over to you, and I dedicate a moment to read some scripture and to pray and to put my mind on you, and I'm going to feel those hunger pains because my flesh stinketh. It's in charge, and I want you to be in charge. Now, I will, but that understanding of his revealed scripture and his revealed nature and his revealed character as the Holy Spirit's working because you invited him in. Why? Because you stopped going to Tim Hortons for lunch today and getting your chili and double-double and little bun and less extra butter. And like, I'm gonna sit in the parking lot and I'm going to start up myself for lunch and I'm going to talk to God. Feel the strength of your flesh, friends, and let your spirit man live. Let your spirit man grow strong in Christ Jesus. Your flesh is loud because you haven't fed your spirit man. And that's how you feed your spirit man, is by dying to your flesh, listening for Holy Spirit, inviting him into your life, opening the Word of God, praying and talking to God, letting Holy Spirit continue to refresh your mind, refresh your thoughts. And before you know it, you want so much more of God. You need thy will, God be done today. You with me? All right. We're still here. Didn't scare you away yet. See, pride, let me write this down. Pride is when we think we are hot and we are not. You ever thought you're so hot, you ain't not? You're not so hot, right? Pride is when we think we are hot and we, oh man, there's been many days in my life. I got some new shoes, like KB's got some new shoes. He's so hot. He's so hot. He's so, I love you. I'm just kidding, KB. Wait till I get some new shoes. I'm thinking, I'm so hot, and we are not. Look at me. New website. Have you seen my new website? It's IamTheBomb.com. IamTheBomb.com. Pride is a dangerous sickness within us, friends. Pride is a dangerous sickness within us. What does Scripture say about Proverbs 16:19? If you study your Bibles with you and your phones, we'll have it on the screen. Read it with me. So to help me out, I'm trying to get you to learn. That's how I want to ask for response. I'm trying to learn, help you to learn how to be appropriately vocal in church. Is that okay? Vocal in church. I know we have this old idea of what church is supposed to be. Just throw it out. We have new church. We just throw things the way we want, right? Anyway, Scripture says that. Let's see this right. Pride goes before what? Say it aloud. Pride goes before destruction or fall. Yeah, some other translations. A haughty spirit before what? Before a fall. How dangerous is pride? Dangerous. Proverbs 16:26. Lords, what does he say? What is he? He says, the Lord detests. What is he detesting? All the proud of heart. Be sure of this, they will not go unpunished. The Lord detests it. 1 Peter 5:5 says, God actually opposes. He resists the proud. But what does he do? Let's listen. He gives grace to whom? The humble. Yet my people would humble themselves and pray. That's why in this season of prayer and fasting, I know you didn't even know we were in that season because you missed the memo, but I'm encouraging you, get in here on Wednesday night and come hungry and thirsty for God. There's something great in your life, because when my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, I'm going to heal their lands. I'm going to heal their marriages. I'm going to heal their bad financial spending problems. I'm going to heal their broken problems, their broken hearts. I'm going to heal you. Some of you need some healing. You don't even know, but God's going to reveal some areas in your life. I got some pride. I got some anger. I got some envy. I got all kinds of sickness within me. And we're getting healed, aren't we? We're getting healed. Someone say, get healed. Tell your neighbor, get healed. Tell your other neighbor, I'm going to get healed. I'm going to get healed. Oh, man, now I know. Some of you might ask, well, what if I'm proud of my kids? Now, listen, this is a different kind of pride, friends. Come on. What we're talking about today is a sinfully selfish pride. Pride is not saying, you know, I'm proud of what God is doing in my church. I'm proud of what God's doing in my kids. That's being proud of God. It's okay to be proud of God. It's okay to boast about the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me. And so, here's somebody got a fall t-shirt. I'm so proud to be Canadian. I'm so proud to be Canadian. I'm so proud that Tony beat an Oilers fan, even though Oilers lost last night. I take pride in my neighborhood, so I'm going to pick up the garbage that everybody else walked by, and you've walked by the last 3 days. Now I'm going to pick it up because I take pride in my neighborhood, put it in the garbage, take it home. Now, we're talking about a selfish, self-focused kind of sickness within us. It's a sinful pride. That's what we're talking about, okay? Now, to help you out, I want to show you three types of this kind of pride. Three types that we're going to look at today. If you're still taking notes, you'll find yourself in one of them. You will. And if you don't, you just aren't listening, okay? The first one, if you're still taking notes, is this. This is probably what you think about when you think of pride. And this is number one. I am better than you, pride. I am better than you. Every one of us has somebody in my life, in your life, that I'm pretty sure I'm better than that person. You're coming to mind already. You are not as good as I am. I'm better than you at that, or whatever it is. Pride is. It's a lot like one very proud woman who came to her pastor. When I was a pastor, I guess I deal with vanity and pride, because every time I walk, you know, through the church, I look at the other women, I just say to myself, man, I'm so much more beautiful than all of them. I really struggle with this vanity and this pride, pastor. I just dealt with my pride. I just deal with my pride. The pastor said, well, man, Thomas, that's not pride. That's a mistake. You were just wrong with your assertion. And that is a mistake. He ain't the most beautiful person in the church. Just so you know. I'm better than you, right? I'm better than you. This is the way so many people feel. And it might not be all the time. But just once in a while, it sneaks in under the door, you know, whatever. Now, how does this type of pride show itself? Because honestly, you might not be recognizing it in yourself. Great question. Let me help you up. Some good questions here tonight. One of the ways it shows itself is in a critical attitude. Do you ever have a critical attitude towards somebody? Armchair coaches in here, right? Or a critical heart, like there's some feeling behind it. Like it's a little bit of contempt, maybe. If you find that you're often criticizing situations, people, organizations, presidents, prime ministers, whatever it is, Facebook people, CTV news people, whatever it might be, you've got to have a critical kind of eye. You know, whatever. Now, look at the way she does that, or he says that, or does that. Look at the way he does this. Like, I can't believe it. And he's not this, and he's not, he thinks he's all that, and he's just not. You know, like, what that is a reflection of a proud heart going on inside of a critical spirit, a critical mind, a critical eye. I know I do it right all the time, and you don't. You don't do it right, and I do. Would you like some help with that kind of thing, right? That's a marriage thing right there, probably. Some of you just got some healing in your marriage because you were honest. Another type of I'm better than you pride is spiritual pride. Can you imagine? Spiritual pride. And oh man, is it ever ugly? You know, we worship God the right way up above, right? And everyone else, they all wrong or whatever, right? At least at my church, we actually read through the whole Bible. We don't do topical preaching. Like, are you kidding me? Like, we like had the corner on truth at the last church, but this church, we get into spiritual haughtiness, right? We get spiritual pride sometimes. Well, I would never do what that no good sinner would do. I'm so much older. I prayed 3 times this morning already before breakfast. Right? Like, we do, right? And you'll see that this I'm better than you pride often in our marriages and relationships. You know, well, I'm right and my spouse is usually wrong, you know, so I'm going to, you know, show her. And this one is always wrong. And I'm better. It's I'm better than you pride. You've never been there before. Would you be honest with me this morning? I've had it. I know you've had it too. I'll be honest for you. We've all had this I'm better than you pride. Right? And I'm better than you. It's actually very, very dangerous, friends, to have the sickness of pride within us. You know, that it's making us sick, and it's making us sick mentally, spiritually, emotionally, and even physically sometimes. And to help you see this in a way that can help, in the Bible, we can see a great illustration. This is a story that Jesus told about a tax collector and about a Pharisee, right? So now during this day, we're talking about the Pharisees were known throughout the whole community as very righteous in appearance, right? And Jesus was always on their case about their holy appearance, but something was going on the inside that he didn't like. And they would tithe off of everything. Have you ever tithe off your pepper that you bought at Costco? No, that's what these guys did. Like a tenth of their milk, their mint, their cumin, 10%, like they just brought their pepper shaker to church. Here you go. Whatever it might be, right? Here you go, beloved, a little pepper to spice some things up. And but they were wearing these fancy religious looking robes. They probably had some Jordans on too. And they fast 2 days a week, right? Not anything so they could pray. And of course, in such a way that everyone would know, of course, right? Like I'm fasting. Can you tell? My skin's like, my hair. Can you hear my stomach rumbling kind of thing, right? And that's what's going on with these religious people. And then there's a story about a tax collector who was despised and absolutely hated by everybody. See, the tax collectors, they were Jewish by birth. Let me give some information, some issues about government. But they basically were betraying their own people because they were actually working for the Roman government and helping the Roman government, like they had power and sway as they were collecting taxes. So they were betraying their own kinsmen. They had the full force of the Roman government, the Roman army behind them. And so let's say, you know, you owed maybe, you know, for the year $4,000 in taxes. And these tax collectors would come up to your door, bang, 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 and say, your bill is $5,000. And if you do not want to pay it, I got some big bros behind me that are going to make you pay. We're going to take your couch, take your children, take whatever else to help you pay it. Right? And then what they would do is they'd actually keep that extra $1,000 for them. So they'd be scraping off the top. This is a original mafia, right? Like, just taking some bills off you. And they would give $4,000 to the Roman government. They keep that down. They were thieving, stealing, scraping. and everyone hated him because they knew this was what was going on. Jesus told a story about a tax collector, a Pharisee. And he said they went to the temple to pray, verse 11 of Luke 18. The Pharisee stood up and he actually prayed about, keyword, himself. One key reflection, friends, of those who are proud are those who always pray about their own needs and pray about themselves. God, can you do that? God, I need you today. God, can you do this for me today? It's like, skip the dishes, God, right? And the Pharisee prayed about himself and said, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men who are robbers and evildoers and adulterers, or even like this tax collector over there in the corner, right? I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all that I got. And Jesus continued the story in verse 13. He said, but, I like big buts in scripture, it's really helpful. But the tax collector stood at a distance and he would not even look up to heaven, but he beat his breast and he said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. It's an illustration of the proud and of the humble in the same story. And Jesus said it was the tax collector that everyone despised that actually went away justified, not the proud Pharisee. See, one fifth grade Sunday school teacher asked one of the fifth grade boys, do you get the moral of the story? And he said, absolutely, I do. And how I thank God I'm not like that Pharisee. Do you get the moral of the story? And that is this, God opposes the proud. Oh, how he loves to give grace to the humble, friends. You're looking for some grace in your life? You got to take out the sickness of pride. Because he gives grace to the humble. He opposes the proud. It's the sickness we do not want to entertain. We want, I will. No, we want that. I will. God, I humble myself when I pray and I fast and I seek the face of my God. So how do you know? If you struggle with this, right? I think we have some information to take home, some notes. Do I know I'm struggling with? I am better than you, pride. There's a second type of pride, though, and boy, this one is with. This one hits me sometimes, too, if you're taking notes. The second type of pride is this. Number two, I can handle it myself. Either do I can handle myself. Pride. How do I struggle with this? Well, if you have a difficult time asking help from others, you are dealing with I can handle it myself, pride. Right? Well, I just don't want to bother anybody. We make excuses for everyone's busyness all the time. Look at that cold. I can do it myself. If you find it difficult to receive, someone else wants to help you or wants to give to you or wants to bless you, but you find it difficult to receive that blessing that they've been given to give to you, and you're like, man, I can't receive it. No, I'm not worthy. Have you said this? I'm not even worthy of that. Someone gives you $100 Christmas bonus or something, you're like, $1,000, maybe not, is it? Well, why not? No, I can't take that. Give it to someone else. It's more and more need. No, wait, friends, that is pride. It's how I can handle it myself. I've got to figure it out. I can do this all by myself. If you find yourself with a very on-again and off-again kind of prayer life, because we've all been there too, right? We've been on-again with God, off-again, on-again. You know, you pray for a little while, and then you stop praying. You read the Bible for a while, and you say, what does that really say? Deep down, no matter what we say, what we believe is our actions indicate that we think we can do without God. I can handle it myself, kind of pride. That's why I have this on with God, off with God, on with prayer, off with prayer, because the days I'm feeling really good, I don't talk to God, I just get up on myself, because I can handle it myself. Have you ever been there before? Oh, yeah, we got some honest nods. I love it. We all been there. I've done a day without prayer, because I think, oh, I got such a sunny day out. I got a Starbucks in my hand. He says, I'm going to get a coffeeology in my hand. I can handle myself, Jesus. If you find yourself with a very on again, off again prayer life, you know, I'm struggling with this. I can handle myself. So when you have this kind of pride anytime, you know, man, maybe somebody wants to, maybe you know, you're driving somewhere and you're going to be caught dead ever pulling over and asking for directions. I remember my dad, there was no way it would take like an extra hour of trying to find the right off ramp, and he would not pull over. Like, where's that map? Upside down, sideways. We had maps back then. Right? So he refused to use GPS. Now I know where I'm going. GPS is of the devil. Don't talk to me about that. Somebody that can't fix anything and he can't stand other people that can. Mr. Fix It, Mr. Rogers. Rogers or wherever you are. You know, you can buy yourself one of those do-it-yourself assembly things from the devil IKEA. You bought one of them bookshelf thingies, and it came with a set of picture instructions. A little like, and better your wife be, hey, honey, you really want to ask someone else to help you. You know, from one of your friends, help you put that together. Because, like, you're going to break it properly. You're gonna, and you're like, nope, honey. Step back, watch your uncle the man. Figured out. Because I can do all things through Christ. Gives me strength. Oh, my truth. Why is it we think like this? And we're like, because I can handle myself. Right? Because we are prideful. We're prideful. And you'll see a great example of this in the story that we know is the prodigal son of Luke 15. 11 and 12, Jesus was continuing his teaching, and he said there was a man. He's telling a story. A man had two sons, two boys. And the younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. And what you can hear behind and back between the lines is basically that, I want all my stuff. I hate hiking your rules anymore. You make me get off my Xbox at 10 o'clock at night. You kill the internet, whatever it is that you do. I want my stuff. I don't like your rules. You're crapping my style, bad. And I want your life my own way, right? Now, if this was a modern-day story, let's just break it down. It wasn't like this. So this son went out and maxed his, you know, his dad's credit card and bought an expensive skateboard and started drinking beer and smoking whatever, hanging out with some, you know, loose women and tattooing and piercing everything they can, right? Maybe. And this guy was just like absolutely wild. Before long, he couldn't support his own lifestyle that he wished and desired to have. Started living on his friend's sofa, his couch, right? And his friend kicks him out too after a while, and all of a sudden he wakes up one day hurting. Hurting. Frustrated. And at the bottom of the line is this, he thought he knew what was best and he could handle it without his father. That's the moral story in today's English. I never thought you could handle yourself without your father. Yet every one of us has done that. We've all wrestled with that. We all have a little bit of sickness. But Scripture says this in verse 17, when he came to his senses. And there'll be those of you today that I pray will come to your senses. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare? Here I am starving to death. I will set out and I will go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. He has hired me out of bed. I'll just do the chores. Like everyone else does. Can you see the contrast here, friends? The proud and the humble. See, pride comes before destruction. Our haughty spirit before a fall. God opposes the proud, but God gives grace. And God lifts up those who are humble and broken before him. A contrite heart, a contrite spirit, a broken heart, and a contrite spirit. Right? That's how we come before God. We don't come before God all proud like, yo, Jesus, I'm set up. You know, not on the job today. I got it figured out. I got it. It's all good, you know. Now it's coming before God. It's also what we are practicing when we come to church, by the way. I talked about this already. We come and we lift up our proud hands and our proud and envious eyes before God to heaven in worship of a good God who is worthy of good worship, friends, right? And all that Jesus has done for us, right? And it's actually an act of humbling ourselves before a king. King Jesus. That's what it is, right? It's about humbling ourselves before him. And because we all prideful. And we need this. What we do, we're practicing. Because we're going to happen someday. We're going to know a little bit about what we're doing, what we're about, what we do. We're going to worship Jesus. Like, all freedom. Like, ooh, you know, like, I don't know what he does. Dad, devil. I don't know. Silly. Crazy. What we do on Sunday isn't just getting you to heaven. It's a place actually to learn and to practice how to be more like Jesus. That's why we talk about giving. That's why we talk about serving. These are things that Jesus did. Right? God gave his first and his best. Jesus on Christmas is coming up soon. And we think, oh, no, it's I will. No, it's like this morning. I will. You know, that's what we do on Sunday. That's what we do all throughout the week. We're practicing and learning what it means to be more like Jesus, who is the model of perfection, the model of excellence, who is our king. That's why we have to come in. You know, put your hands up. Put your hands up. Clap your hands. Stomp your feet. Sway. Whatever it looks like. Offering basketball runs. Oh, yeah, God, I get to give. What you gave to me? Why you gave me? I give. I'm going to join the team. I serve. I'm going to serve my neighbor. Mow his lawn. Clean up his leaves. It's about learning how to be more like Jesus. Listen, when you worship with your hands, you are teaching yourself humility. You are pushing serve on a team, you're resisting a prideful heart and teaching yourself humility. And if you want to stay prideful and be resisted by Bella, go ahead, you do it, right? But don't be stopping someone else from praising Jesus and their practices of growing in humility. And so obviously we worship loud here. It's about teaching you how to be a worshiper and say, God, you're everything. I'm not too proud to raise my voice. I'm not too proud to shout out King Jesus. Hail, hail, King Jesus. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Are you with me today? You're like, God, I want to do this. So you're going to get some freedom today. I know. I know. I'll pray that next Sunday you come back and some of you come with a different mindset, a different perspective on why you need to worship. Because you're learning what you're doing is pushing back on the sickness of pride within you. We're pushing back on these things. Why? Because it's keeping you sick. It's actually keeping you distant from God, because God opposes the proud for hearts. So now I don't want to walk in opposition to God. I want to walk with God. I want to be in a relationship with God. I want to hear His voice. And I want to hear my voice too. It's a relationship. So what does this mean to you? If you battle with I can do it myself, pride, it's time to humble yourself and get help. How does this play out? Some of you in your marriages, they're in trouble. And you've said for a long time, well, we don't need help. Counseling don't work. We're on our own. We didn't need all that wooshy-wooshy therapy. No. Listen to me, friends. You, please, for the sake of the covenant that you made with God, get some help. Find some other professional who can help you. You've got to push back against the sin. I'm pushing back too. I got a pastor in my life. I humbled myself, and we sat in front of him and his wife. We're like, yeah, this is stuff we're struggling. Yeah, she said, he said, kind of stuff going on. And it's humbling myself to say, you know, I need some help in my life. It's not, I can just go to church and I go home and I can pretend I don't help my marriage. But I want to put some work into it and humble myself and ask some people, like, can you come help me? I'm struggling. Maybe you're struggling with porn this morning. Maybe not this morning, maybe yesterday. Stay Sunday. You gotta find some help for it. Don't just keep thinking that you're gonna keep in the closet. I'm gonna find out. God doesn't love that. He don't care. You know, give me some grace. Listen, you're prideful and you need to push back on the sickness of pride in your life and get some help. Find a counselor who can help you walk through it. You've got some stuff in your past. You've got some boredom. You've got some things going on you need to deal with in your heart. That's why you keep coping with pornography. Deal with it. I don't preach it, right? Get awkward in here now. Please, for the sake of the covenant you made with God, for me to ask for and receive help. And, when I involve others appropriately in my life, here's what's happening. I'm actually staying accountable to God, staying accountable to my spouse I'm in covenant with. I'm staying accountable to God, to the family that God gave me, and taking action. Write that down. Take action this week. Take action. Call somebody. If you need some referrals, see, we've got a couple of counselors in this room. See Kevin. See you. Come see me. See Pastor Angela. Ask for some help. Get some help. Yes, I know I pray about it. Yes, I take it to God. But when I involve other people appropriately, see, don't take it sideways. If you find your buddy who's struggling with porn, they can't even be accountability partners, then you're both going to fall in the ditch together. And then you're going to ignore each other. And you know, you're not just ignoring, but you're like, what's going on? Are you okay? Like, you're just going to resist it. You're not going to text back. You're going to leave it on red. You know, that kind of thing. So don't find someone who's going to hold you accountable, friends. Are you serious about it? Finding freedom? Come on, I know some of you are. Stay accountable. If you're addicted to someone, get some help. You can't handle it. You can't stop it on your own. And you keep having to get clean every 15 days. You're not going to stop without help. You need help. So humble yourself, humble yourself, humble yourself, humble myself, humble myself. I will, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. And we should open your life this week, friends. It's going to save your life. It's going to save your marriage. It's going to save your future marriage. Listen, you can future-proof yourself for a healthy marriage by getting rid of some of those habits you have too, by the way. You've got to take care of how you're raising yourself in your life. You know, if you want to get married, prepare yourself for being a good husband who doesn't look at porn and cheat on your wife. You know what I'm saying? Get ready for it. Wives do it. I know girls look at porn too, so let's go. Right? Or erotic words and books or whatever. Man, you know, I don't have my script today. Let's go. I need some help. Ask for it, receive it. Why do we not ask for it and receive it? Because of pride, guys. First type of pride we look at is I'm better than you. Second type, I can handle it myself. Here, I got third one for you. Write this down. It's a church. So you might say, those may be the rules, but they don't apply to me. It's a lot like Muhammad Ali, who, like some of you like the Muhammad Ali stories, the professional boxer. What was he saying? Like, float like a butterfly, sting like a bee, something, Muhammad Ali, whatever those words were. Here's a story, though. Muhammad Ali was supposed at one time on an airplane, and the stewardess, the flight attendant, came up and said, "Hey, sir, you need to wear your seatbelt." And Muhammad Ali said, "Superman, don't need no seatbelt." And she looked at him and smiled. "Oh, dear. Superman don't need no airplanes either." So, well, I can. I'm above the rules, right? You say to yourself, some of you think you are above the rules. You want people to take 12 items to the express checkout line that says 10 items, right? And why do you think the rules don't apply to you, right? Scripture teaches different things. So it is adultery to lust after a woman. And I know sometimes, there's many guys that call themselves Christ followers that look regularly at pornography. They get to sin and say, well, that doesn't apply to me, right? This is help dealing with some things. This is help to cope, but it doesn't really apply to me. Or there's another popular scenario. We're just trying to live together before we're married. Because we're like, just now, we're just doing our thing, and the rules don't really apply to me. Or, that scripture says that we're supposed to forgive us. Christ has forgiven us, but don't you know that person, what that person has done in my life? You see, that just doesn't apply to me. Or I know that as Christ followers, the greatest of these would be those who serve. When we ask people in our church, come on, jump on the team, get off the bench, get in the game, right? Serve. But you know what? That doesn't apply to me. I can go to the church and just watch and go home kind of thing. You know why? Because it doesn't apply to me. And many of us are sick with pride. But today is a day for freedom and healing. We have this part of thinking that the rules don't apply to me. King David was like this in the Old Testament. Remember King David from the OT? Scripture said that at one time when kings went off to war, King David didn't go off to war. And he didn't know where he was supposed to go because kings in his day went to war. He was doing something that he wasn't supposed to do. He saw something he wasn't supposed to see because he was doing something he wasn't supposed to be doing. And he saw this thing, he thought something he wasn't supposed to think. After he saw something he wasn't supposed to see, he couldn't go. Like, he did something he wasn't supposed to do because he didn't do what kings were meant to do. And he involved someone else as he sent one of his people out and said, I see that naked lady over there bathing on the rooftop of the house. She looks good. Go get her and bring her here. We got some orders or whatever. And then he committed adultery with her. And he did, thinking he was beyond, I'm above the rules, doesn't apply to me kind of thing, right? And then when he does one of the most horrendous crimes you could ever do, after taking this other guy's wife, making her pregnant, he made an order which basically led to the murder of his good friend Uriah. He betrays his friend and had him killed because the rules don't apply to me. Like Nathan, the prophet, the preacher of the day, called King David on this and he told him the story. You can read the story yourself in 2 Samuel, but I got the verse here, 2 Samuel 12. The preacher, Nathan, says to David, he goes like this now. A traveler came to the rich man. But the rich man refrained from taking one of his own sheep or called to prepare a meal for the traveler who had come to him. Instead, he took the ewe, the lamb, that belonged to this poor man and prepared it for the one who had, like this rich man who had tons of sheep. He goes and takes the poor man's sheep and makes dinner out of it. And Nathan told David this, David the story, and David was like, that's the worst thing I've ever heard. Bring me this man. I'm going to beat this man and kill him for what he's done. So he says his heart burned with anger. He was like, we gotta punish this guy now. Tell me who it is. This just isn't right. And the preacher Nathan looked at David and said, Eesh. No, he actually said, Ada Eesh is actually what he said. 2 Samuel 12. Nathan looked at David and said, Ada Eesh, which is he referring to you to man. You are the man. You are the one that we're talking about in this story. Ada Eesh, may I say it lovingly and humbly before you today, friends? That there are those of you that are living in this kind of pride. It doesn't apply to me. And may I say to you, Aish, you are the man. Some of you ladies are going, oh, well, I'm glad that I'm a lady. May I say to you, Aish, which means you are the woman. You're the woman. You're the lady. There's an area in your life where you are saying, you know what? This doesn't apply to me. And I'm not happily married right now. You know, I know that God hates divorce and all that stuff, but forget this marriage. I'm out. economy, rules of the Bible. God says we are stewards, and 10% of what he trusts with me belongs back to him, not I. Don't believe it. It doesn't apply to me. Is an area of your life where you are in direct rebellion to the truth of God. It's time to humble yourself, friends. That's what we do. We humble ourselves. If you have I'm better than you pride, humble yourself. Humble yourself. Love and serve others instead. Ask for and receive some help in your life for the things you're struggling. If you think that God's truth does not apply to you, humble yourself. Repent and surrender yourself fully to God. Like, what's your will? Thy will be done, God. Thy will be done. Would you just take a step this week, friends? Live like you've been resurrected from sin and death. That's what I'm inviting you to. Would you write that down? Can you live like you've actually been raised from death to life? Resurrected from sin and death. Give. Let me challenge you. Would you learn to give in your finances and your time and your energy like obedience before God matters? One thing I don't want to get there, I want to say, God, I did the best. I trust you, and I did my best, and I delivered the word, God. It's on them now. But would you live like obedience matters in your life? Would you serve like God calls you to and commands you to? Why? Because you want to live, give, and serve like Jesus. If you're a follower of Jesus, that applies to you, by the way. If you don't, that's on you. Today's a good day to decide. Maybe I should follow Jesus. That's a good one, too. I like it. Would you take a step? Now, why is this so important? I'm closing. Why is the sinful sickness within so deadly? A couple of key thoughts that I hope will illustrate this to you. Take these notes if you can. Listen, the proper you are, the further you fall from God. Just like Satan, got a one-way ticket out of heaven. The proper you are, the further you are from God. The closer you are to God, the more humble and broken you become. The prouder that you are fooling yourself. The prouder that you are. Yet the closer you are to God, the more humble and broken you will become. The closer you are to God, the more humble and broken you become. The more full of self that we are, friends, the more that God opposes us and resists the proud. But the more that we know him, we want you to know God and find freedom in your life, right? The more that we can't do anything else but be humble before him. Let me illustrate this quickly. Power example in the Old Testament, you can read this on your own time, Isaiah 5. The prophet Isaiah was looking at people and he was comparing himself to them. His comparison. And he's making some, I'm good and you stink, and we could do all that with different areas of our lives too, right? And so he compared himself to the people. He said 6 different times in one chapter, woe to you losers. He said one time, woe to you who drink too much or party too much. What are you? He said to another group, woe to you who call what is good evil and you call what is evil good. Woe to you. He said, woe to another group, woe to you who are wise in your own eye, you think you know it all. He compared himself to the 6 times. He said, woe to you, 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 woe to you. But when he saw the Lord, everything changed. Summarizing Isaiah 6, he said, when I saw the Lord high and sealed up. This is your invitation this week, friends. When I saw God, the Lord high and sealed up, high and lifted up, I was speechless. The scripture says that this, when I saw the Lord seated on the throne, high and exalted, the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, and each with 6 wings. With 2 wings, they covered their faces. With 2, they covered their feet. With 2, they were flying, and they were clung to one another. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. Then in verse 5, instead of saying, woe to you, when he saw the Lord, he said, woe to me. I cried, I mourned, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King and the Lord Almighty. The prouder you are, friends, the further you fall from God. But the closer that you become to God, the closer you come to him, the more humble and broken you will become. When I saw the Lord, I cried, woe to me, I am nothing. God, it's all about you. Jesus is my everything. Did you say, really? Jesus is my everything. Lord, be. Thy will be done. Not my will, but thine be done. Luke 14:11 closes with the scripture. The words of Jesus said, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but when he who humbles himself will be exalted. All around the room, if you push yourself in prayer. Let us just go home before God and ask him to forgive us of pride this morning. Heal us of this sickness within us. Close heads bow. Jesus, Father, thank you for your presence, your goodness. We ask that you would forgive us of our pride this morning.